reading from Exodus chapter 14, verses 13 through 15. Moses answered the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand firm, and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites to move on." That was Exodus chapter 14, verses 13 through 15.
And that was Dave Fitch's voice, our director of development, but oh, so much more, because he's got about 8 different caps on. He's working on a bunch of projects. And if you were tuned in yesterday for the Monday edition of Mark and Friends, rejoining me in the studio, I'll go from right to left, Dave Fitch, Pastor Sister Jessie Herring, and all-purpose volunteer Steve Griffin. They're joining me back for another day of broadcast. In fact, if you were thinking, that verse was from yesterday, yeah, it's not a Groundhog Day kind of thing where we're just repeating and everything goes the same. That's why I intentionally had Dave read it today. Yesterday, Steve read it, but we never got to really dive into it, see what God would have us glean through it. But it had to do a bit with Pastor Jessie's testimony, faith journey, life story, and what she challenged the pastors and ministry leaders last Thursday to consider and weigh, that we just need to stand firm in our love for God, our awareness that God will see us through things as long as we're walking in cadence with his leadings. Now, he's not going to bless things that are evil or wrong or self-centered. He's going to bless us on things that advance his kingdom purposes. And one of those purposes we prayed up, that God would use what Sheridan said today through our conversation to bless you, to help you on your faith journey, to assist you in learning that God has special plans for you today. He wants to work in and through you. He's made you unique and different, and he will touch people through you today, the people around your neighborhood or at your workplace or wherever you go. As you go, you can be that vehicle of the good news message of Jesus. You can be his ambassador. And Jessie Herring last Thursday was his ambassador as she spoke at our ministry leaders' luncheon. In fact, I talked a lot about this yesterday, so that program is archived at wluj.org and greatnewsradio.org. But it talked about how purposeful, if you're growing in the Lord, you should be enthusiastically sharing him with others. You should have that zest, that insight, because you've spent time with the Lord. When you pray, do you realize you get to talk to God, that he listens, that he delights in you? And that should energize you. If you just think and pause for a minute, When you pray, you're getting to talk to God. Shouldn't that make you enthusiastic? Shouldn't that energize you? Shouldn't you want to tell the whole world that I just talked to God a few minutes ago? But that practice can happen throughout the day. And Jesse challenged all of us, hey, if you're only praying a little, you're only going to get a little time with God. And if you pray a lot, then you're going to be vibrant and enthusiastic and listening to him, and he's going to be speaking to you. So anyways, okay, am I talking a little bit fast? When I get wound up and I'm going to get excited, but we're going to talk a little about Exodus 14, verses 13 through 15, as that was a springboard of Jesse sharing on Thursday to our ministry leaders that gathered in the Champaign-Urbana area. So Jesse, of all the different verses that you could choose from, and I did share this a bit yesterday because God kind of changed your message 2 or 3 different times, but talk about Exodus 14, 13 through 15.
Yes, Mark. Exodus 14, and what really stood out to me, and God spoke to me. He said, share with the people to stand still and watch me work. Because in ministry and even with pastors, we go through so much. And then I like the part when he said, the Lord will fight for you, you know. And Moses telling his people, the Israelite, the Lord shall fight for you. Hold your peace. Hmm. And we as pastors, we have to know that God called us. And if God called us, he equips us. Mm-hmm. And we cannot be afraid to go and tell a dying world that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. And then I like the part, you know, even when Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 1 itself, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but he has given us power, and he has given us love, and he has given us a sound mind. So therefore, we got to know that we know that we know that we know that God will fight for us, mm-hmm. when we go out to do his holy and divine will. I love the part when he said, stand still. And then he said, at the end, that 15th verse, go forward. We got to be willing to go. We have to have an Isaiah spirit. Lord, send me. I'll go to do what you have command me to do. We have so many people out in the community that are hurting. They are broken. So many broke, busted, and disgusted. And they need us. They need us every day. They need us. And we have to be those pastors and leaders that God is calling for.
You know, I don't know if I mentioned this, you know, I didn't really even give you an introduction, Pastor Jesse, but you serve at Table of Life Ministries in Springfield.
In Springfield, Illinois.
But I want to kind of take our listener back. We're going to help this be a testimony Tuesday. Some of your faith journey, you're seasoned in the Lord. I think you've been in ministry 40 plus years, but take us through some of that journey because it's not always easy serving the Lord. Sometimes there's heartache, there's disappointment, there's searching, there's getting recalibrated, but did you grow up in a Christian home?
I did. My mother was a prayer warrior. She used to sing with the gospel group, and we had to go to church. Every Sunday, we had to go to church. Every Wednesday night, even on Monday, we had church. We had to be in church. So, yes, I grew up in church.
And then when did you find Jesus? Like, when did it become very personal?
It became personal. Actually, I got baptized when I was 8 years old. And we used to have what you call a morning bench. And doing a revival. And that night, that first night, I didn't get anything because the mothers had talked with us. They had prayed with us. And they said, just don't get up. You make sure that you hear from God. Make sure. Don't get up because someone tell you to get up. And I didn't get done the first night. She marched us back. The second night I came, I still didn't get anything. The third night, after they had prayed and I heard the preacher preach at 8 years old, and the Lord touched my heart, I got saved on that night. I started crying. The Holy Spirit fell upon me. I cried the whole night, from that point on. And then I backslid, and then I made a U-turn. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
And I gave my life to Christ. And when I made that U-turn, and then I was around about 20-some years old, and I'll never forget, the pastor of the church said, we're going to have prayer meeting on a Friday night, and it's going to be for 3 hours. I got so mad at the pastor. I'm like, 3 hours don't take nobody that long to pray.
Especially on a Friday night when you want to go out.
Some of the members, he needs to go home. I don't know. He's losing his mind. It don't take nobody that long to pray. And he said, we're going to have a leader for every prayer meeting. And then he said, we're going to start out with Jesse. I sure enough got mad then. I'm like, wait a minute. He's messing up my Friday night. That's the night that I go out and party. That's when I start my partying on Friday night. And this man told me 3 hours. So there was a lot of mothers in the church, and I called the mothers, and every mother I call, they said, if the pastor asks you to do it, just do it. And then you need to bring 14 people with you. I'm like, oh, my God. And I got mad again. So I was obedient. I just got to, you know, after I talked with the mothers, I said, well, let me go on and be obedient. And everybody I called, they came with me. So that night I had 14 people to come with me. And I had a poster board, and the pastor said, there might be some people you need to pray for, or a family member. You can bring a picture. Just do a poster board and bring with you. I brought the poster board in, and I looked at the board, and I'm like, man, I cannot pray for these folks. I need to be delivered myself. So I turned the poster board over, and when I turned it over, I got down on my knees. And I began to cry out to God, and I took an hour and a half to pray for myself. And I didn't get up off my knees until I knew I was delivered. The Holy Spirit came in the church like a mighty rushing wind, and you could feel the power of God. Everybody just started screaming and hollering and crying, and the Holy Spirit went so high, and it came back down. Then it got high again, and then after I got up, and the Holy Spirit said, now you can pray for these people, because I had a lot of family members that were on drugs, and I wanted them to be delivered, and had a lot of family members that had been locked up for years, you know, and had really hadn't had a chance to enjoy life. And I'm like, okay, God, I'll go. I'll be the one, God, for my family. I'll go and do whatever you have commanded me to do. And from that night on, and when I really gave my life to Christ, later on, all that beer that I used to drink, I couldn't drink no more. Mm. The enemy tempted me, but when I put it up to my mouth, I heard the Holy Spirit said, don't you dare touch it. And I threw it away. I didn't touch it. I had popped the top and everything. I threw the whole thing out of the window, driving down the street. The curse words. Mm. God delivered me. He took them away, that away from me. All of that stuff, marijuana, he took that away from me. He took all that stuff that I used to do. I had a problem with music. I used to love music because music used to take me places that I shouldn't need to be. Mm-hmm. And I went to the pastor and I asked him because I didn't want to let go of the music. So I asked him about the music and he said, you got to go pray to God, pray to God. And if God said turn the loose, you need to turn the loose. If it's going to cause you to sin, you need to turn the loose. And I went to God and God delivered me from that as well. And I've been walking with God.
Mm. I'm thinking of that word sanctification. It many times is a process. The Lord brings conviction. And I love healthy conviction. There's condemnation and the evil one. Satan will oftentimes use that. Condemnation will generally turn you away from God. Oh, I'm through with that. I'm not going to face God. That's condemnation from the evil one. Conviction, healthy conviction. I love conviction. When a pastor preaches a message and you're like, you're introspective and you're like, yeah, that's kind of exposing some sin in my life. I need to change. And generally what will happen, you'll lean into Jesus. Jesus, forgive me. I'm fallen. You know, I shouldn't have lost my temper. Lord, those were careless words. I shouldn't have joked in that way. Whatever it is, that healthy conviction, which is sin, usually will help you turn to God. You'll recognize I'm a sinner needing a Savior. And that's a great place to be in. I like healthy conviction because it's like, oh, Lord Jesus, thank you for reminding me how fallen, how still sinful I am, that I'm not perfect. But that's a good thing because then you realize anew you need Jesus as a Savior. Sometimes if you get a little bit too prideful, then you become judgmental of others or you start evaluating, oh, they're not reading the scripture every day. They're not spending 2 hours in prayer. And you sometimes get to be like a Pharisee. So sometimes that healthy conviction that brings you to God, but it helps you recognize you're a sinner that's fallen, is a good place to be.
And yeah, Mark, what Steve said earlier, he was talking about when I shared about my sister and how she, she chastised me. And after that, Steve, I didn't get a chance to share it on last week, but after that, my sister followed me. She packed up. When I moved here, she moved. Mm. She moved to Springfield as well. And she stayed here with me almost 10 years and she started missing her children. And she went back. Yeah. To Tennessee, and yet still she followed me because she know that I strive every day. I'm not saying I'm perfect, but I'm striving to reach perfection. So she calls me. She calls me for prayer, and she follows me.
So she did, she did follow through in the way that I was wondering about.
She did.
Okay.
She did. She loves God.
Yeah, if you missed yesterday's broadcast, we talked much about the importance of the witness that you carry, especially if you're a pastor or ministry leader. Yeah, you're not going to be perfect, but you want to be above reproach. You want to minimize the things that you might do that cause others to stumble, whether that's drinking or smoking or the music you listen to or how you share. Maybe it's that coarse joking or some things that aren't appropriate. And if you're the pastor and you're just looking like everyone in the world, that's not ideal. And we talked about, would it be evident to those around us by the things we say, the things we do, that we're a Christian? And if they can't tell, and the worst thing, you know, Dave, I think we talked about that once, like somebody one time came up to a friend and said, oh, I never thought you were a Christian. I mean, we don't want that to be said about us. Oh, I worked with you for 10 years. I didn't know you were a Christian. So is there enough evidence in your life that you're a follower of Jesus? Do you stand out? Do you live a holy life? Or are you just like everyone else, you know, carrying on? And are you complaining? Jesse, you did this with the pastors last week. You said, I'm going to step on some toes, but do you go to work today? And are you wah, wah, the government, wah, wah, this party or this political affiliation, wah, wah, wah. Mm-hmm. Are you just like everyone else moaning and complaining? And I can get trapped into that where it showed that I'm not grounded in God. Am I not trusting him to work through all these crises? And yes, we're in a sick, sin-fallen world and there are things going on, but we have hope and we have an eternity ahead of us. And if we're just like everyone else complaining and moaning and whining, we have to be careful that we're not just becoming like anyone else. Because if we do have that eternal hope, then there should be a difference. Yes, it is a sin-fallen world, and we do need to wake up that there are things that we can do to improve things. But if we're whining and complaining like everyone else, then they might not see any difference. Or why become a Christian? You're complaining more than me. Well, Jesse, on this Testimony Tuesday, being a board member, I don't know if I introduced you. I think I said that yesterday. Our first official board member where you'll be present is coming up at the end of this month. But you've been receiving all the updates, and you've been praying for the ministry, and you've been involved in so many different aspects of it. And also, what I love is the fact you're helping raise awareness in the Springfield area for those all-night prayer gatherings from midnight to 6 a.m. You hosted one a few weeks back at your church. Why is prayer so important for that listener today, or even that person that has never really even entertained the idea that God exists? How might they begin a prayer life and recognize that there is a God who loves them?
Prayer is so important, for the Word of God said, even in 2 Chronicles 7 and 14, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven. I will forgive their sins and heal their land. Hmm. Prayer is so important. Luke says in Luke 18 and 1, man shall always pray and not faint. It's so important. Your communication with God. Because when we go through life situations and circumstances, only way that we can get through or get healed, delivered, and set free is to steal away, spend some time with God. Spend some time with Jesus. Spend some time with the Holy Spirit, in order to get a prayer through. More prayer, I tell them all the time, more power you will have. Little prayer, guess what? Little power. No prayer at all, you have no power. Because the enemy, John 10:10 said, the enemy come to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. He wants us to have that abundant life. And the Bible said that some things don't come but by fasting and praying. So we have to have that prayer life. Prayer keeps me strong. I'm a prayer warrior. I pray every day, all through the day, riding. I stay in tune with God, and it gives me that peace which surpasses all understanding. Hallelujah.
More prayer, more power, and then it's little prayer. Little power.
No prayer. No power.
Oh, listening friend, you don't want to fall into that third category. No prayer, no power. Maybe, though, you need to just take baby steps and begin with at least a little prayer. Don't worry about having all the right words or all the techniques or the positions. Just begin with a little prayer. Lord, order my steps this day. I pray in Jesus' name. That's a great prayer.
Yes.
Ask him to order your steps this very day. And then as you begin that relationship, remember, you get to talk with God. Stop for a moment. God, who created this universe, what they say, there's like 10 billion solar systems or something. I mean, it's mind-boggling. You can't even, oh no, 2 trillion. There's 2 trillion solar systems. We can't even fathom one solar system. Now imagine that God, that is personal through Jesus, who created it all, can be known in a personal way, can be talked to, that he delights in us, that you get to converse with him. You should turn off the radio right now, as much as I don't want you to do that. But stop and pause and spend a few minutes saying, God, sure seems like Mark and Jesse and Dave and Stephen, they love you, they talk to you. I want to talk to you. And draw near to God, he'll draw near to you. The Bible promises that. You can talk to God and get to know him, and he will respond. He'll love on you. He'll reveal truth. He loves you. He cares for you. And there's nothing like prayer. And I'm reading this new book. I'm going to have the author on it, but it's like praying like Jesus prayed or something. And it walks you through the Lord's Prayer. So I know other people have done that. But it's awakened in me the importance of coming to terms with the fact that when you pray, you have an opportunity to talk to the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Creator of the universe, but more than that, the Creator of you. He designed you. He loves you. He wouldn't have had it any other way. You're a part of his universe, and he wants to work in and through you, and he has an eternity destined for you to spend with him where there's no more pain, suffering, heartache. It'll be a glorious time, but that can also begin here on earth as you communicate with him. So I'm an advocate of prayer, as is Jesse and Dave and Stephen. We highly recommend it. But think about it today. At least pause at some point and think, wow, you mean I can talk with the Creator of the universe and he can be known and he can be personal and that he cares for me? Yes, that is a truth, and experience that. And so, yeah, we're advocates for prayer. And I know, Jesse, we didn't get to talk much about that midnight to 6 a.m., but I know those are going to be happening in and around the Springfield area. And I think we're going to bring it to the greater Champaign-Urbana area. And I hope people in Bloomington and Decatur and other places are going to start that. And I'm going to have the author of that book that talks about how you can set up a midnight to 6 a.m. with things you do at midnight and at 1 a.m. and 2 a.m. And there's a practice.
Yes, originated, and I thank God for Tom and Kathy Griner. So they are getting ready to help Apostle C.C. Doss and L.T. Doss.
Yes.
It's going to be at their church, Love Deliverance. It will be on April the 13th.
Oh, okay. So coming up
soon.
And so, L.T. Doss, she's the next speaker at the First Lady Ministry coming up in May. Be listening to the radio stations, 19 of them. So wherever you're driving throughout Central Illinois, you can pick up one of our frequencies. Lord willing, we could keep all 19 on the air for a few weeks. And we appreciate your prayers, your support. And please be praying, because God loves to hear from you. He created you and he loves you. And I love these three friends in the studio, all a part of this radio ministry in various capacities. And it's a team effort that he has brought us all together to further his kingdom work. And we have the privilege of lifting high the name of Jesus. I hope you were encouraged today. And we love to hear your feedback and hear from you. Contact the station or write us. And we'd love to see and hear how God is using this ministry to touch you. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns, Dave Fitch, Pastor Jesse Herring, and Steve Griffin with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you, and have a great day and night.